Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we got another Frago for you here this morning. The initial game plan was we were just going to have the phone lines open for the full hour, and we're definitely going to take your phone calls here a little bit later this hour of the show. But like I say, you never know exactly what we're going to talk about here on Montana Talks. Not only because, hey, even if we had a plan lined out, if we said, hey, we're going to talk about A, B, C, and D, the moment we take phone calls, you never know which direction the show is going to go. That's part of the fun. And part of what makes it such an informative show at the same time, too. But our Frago for this morning is I just got a surprise phone call from the Flathead County Sheriff and the mayor of Kalispell just a few minutes ago. And so they're going to call into the program here in just a couple more minutes. They just had a big meeting earlier this morning regarding the illegal aliens that were dumped in Kalispell last week. And of course, this so-called nonprofit organization, which is openly admitting on their website that they will traffic illegal aliens in Montana. But anyway, they just had a meeting earlier this morning, and so I want to get a chance to chat with them a little bit more about what they discussed in their meeting, the background on how these illegal aliens ended up getting sent to a place like Kalispell, Montana in the first place. And then, of course, the big question everybody's asking, which is, okay, what do we do now? When we find these illegal aliens, how do we get them out of here? We know that the Biden administration doesn't want to allow us to deport them and get them out of the country. They're flooding the country with illegal aliens from all over the world right now. So what do we do? What can we do? We'll talk about that with the sheriff and with the mayor of Kalispell here in just a couple of minutes. Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke, meanwhile, has sent a letter to Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas calling for an immediate investigation into the illegal immigrants flown into the Flathead last week. He says he's working with local law enforcement and county officials to stop the dark money groups facilitating illegals into an area who are already adding to the already strained local resources in the region. Congressman Zinke says this is inexcusable and a slap in the face to police, first responders, business owners, and taxpayers everywhere in Montana. And I know that that's one of the big messages that the mayor and the sheriff have already communicated to me. They, you know, basically like, okay, put the illegal immigration debate aside for just a moment here. No matter who they are dumping in the Flathead Valley of Montana right now, we're full. The place is full. The housing resources aren't there. Why do you think these illegal aliens got dumped on the doorstep of the Flathead County Sheriff last week? Because there was nowhere else to go. So why are they dumping illegals into a community that doesn't have the housing resources, that doesn't have the shelter, other types of assistance that people would need? First off, they should be sent back home where they came from. Second off, send them somewhere else, right?
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into it. Yeah, we've got Flathead County Sheriff Brian Haino on the phone lines. We've also got Kalispell Mayor Mark Johnson on the phone lines with us. They were in a big meeting earlier this morning discussing this situation involving illegal aliens reportedly being dumped in the Flathead Valley. Sheriff, I'll start with you. The big question everybody has is, how did these illegal aliens show up in Kalispell, and how do we get them out of here? How do we deport them or send them to another location? Anyway, Sheriff, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, so I think a lot of this, we got to go back to, there's between 5,000 to 7,000 a day in individuals, you know, generally coming across the border through different ports of entry. And then there's, you know, a ruling that essentially they have 72 hours to process these individuals. So, you know, first of all, we have this difficult task that we're placing on, you know, Border Patrol agents of saying, you know, roughly, you know, 5,000 to 7,000 a day, trying to vet and work through these different actions, identifications. I mean, that's a pretty daunting task. So then, you know, they are oftentimes reach that 72 mark. They're you know, released into the United States, I guess we'll call it that, and then they're often given travel arrangements by, you know, our government. And that's generally how they get to, and this probably in this scenario, you know, somewhere like Tech or New York City or something along those lines. And there's a lot of nonprofit groups out there that are, you know, assisting individuals to move to other locations. And I think the struggle we have in Flathead County is a lot of the information we're hearing is that we're being almost advertised as a place to go. You know, to answer the last part of your question, you said, how do we, you know, remove or do that stuff? I mean, this is in the federal codes. The federal codes have stated that, you know, immigration issues, if you're not here legally, if you've got any kind of a criminal act, DUI is on there, harboring them, all of those things are federal crimes, which essentially are not being enforced at this point. And so, I mean, it really comes back to that. As a state, you know, we have to look at, you know, what does the taxpayers essentially want to support or not support. This is a dynamic issue of, you know, when you look at Senate Bill 4 out of Texas, you know, they put some avenues in there such as, you know, anybody that, and you know, is going to support illegal immigration, cannot receive state dollars. They've got information in there that, you know, may almost be a crime in that portion, which would be under the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. So, I mean, there are some guidelines there. But, again, we have a court ruling out of Texas, which is, I think it's Ramon versus Lincoln County, which stated that, you know, law enforcement generally cannot, you know, deal with the immigration status. So we can make contact with individuals on criminal aspects. But then, you know, when you get to the immigration status, we don't really have a statute per se that says, you know, this is illegal or anything along those lines. So we're kind of restricted. Of course, that was a Montana Supreme Court ruling. And so now the state legislatures and those have to, you know, decide what the people of this state want to move forward with.
That's right. That was one of the things Speaker of the House Matt Regeer said yesterday. He says right now, kind of to your point about how, you know, the feds are funding this. The Biden administration, backed up by John Tester, who voted and supported these secret flights of illegal aliens just within the past, what, 3 weeks or a month. The feds are jamming this down our throats, and then they'll fight local law enforcement if you try to remove these illegal folks from your communities. So how can the state step up? Texas has kind of shown us a path. He told us how Iowa has shown us a path, and that's the kind of path they want to implement. Let me also sneak Mayor Johnson on here. The mayor of Kalispell as well. Mr. Mayor, thanks for calling in. And what's your position? How do you get these individuals out of your communities? I mean, whether you agree with what's happening here or not, the fact is you've communicated that Kalispell, Flathead County, doesn't have the resources to support this. So how do you get them out of here?
Yeah, it's the biggest question that we face. Aaron, is we look at a federal government that's failing to do its job at this point in time. I talked at the end of the council meeting on Monday night, listed a number of examples, and the frustrating part is we at the local level are forced to respond to the lack of leadership and the failure of leadership at the top levels in this country to enforce laws that we have in black and white. What we have are administration policies. Either, let me go back, Trump had policies, Biden has policies. The problem is when we have these policies that are direct contravention to federal law, we now have to face the consequences at the local level of how to deal with this. And as an example, when the sheriff, when we had a couple individuals with a stabbing incident, undocumented immigrants that was a few weeks ago, we really had to force ICE to come and take those individuals and deport them. And it was really under the threat of going public that they succumbed and agreed to do the deportation. So when we face this at the local level, how do we get them out of here? I dare say we're pretty powerless at this level. The only thing we can do is raise awareness, and it pushes back to the, you know, back to the community resources. You know, we were fortunate enough, and I know you had comments about our emergency levy. We were fortunate enough. The voters said they passed it. And I think the voters passed these levies because they, the citizens feel a sense of urgency that, that some things are getting out of control and that we need to make sure we maintain law and order at the local level. Said Monday night, the minute we lose law and order and the rule of law at the local level, we're doomed to fail as a country.
Now, hold,
not seeing these things upholding at the national level.
That's right. Hold that thought, Mr. Mayor, Mayor Mark Johnson, Sheriff Brian Hano. If both of you can stand by, we got to take a hard break. We'll come back to you after this. Also, Congressman Ryan Zinke put together a series of very good questions for Secretary Mayorkas that I can share. And it'd be nice if more so-called journalists were asking these questions as well. Stand by. Did you know public...
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Thankfully, the mayor and the sheriff are able to stick around with us for a few more minutes. And then I want to share some of these questions that are being raised by Congressman Ryan Zinke that was sent to the Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. And then we'll start taking your phone calls as we move into the open phones portion of the show. I do want to get to an open phones portion where you can call in about whatever you want to talk about. 406-294-0970 if you want to get in the stack right now. Let's see. Let's go back to Flathead County Sheriff Brian Hano. Let's see. Make sure I'm on the right phone line. Yeah, there we go. Sheriff, you know, one of the questions I have is this Valley Neighbors outfit, which is apparently headed up by the head of the Flathead County Democrats. On their website, they openly admit that they will assist people of any immigration status. Okay, let's put aside asylees and refugees for a moment here. If they're openly admitting that they will assist people who are breaking the laws of this country, I mean, if I were to be aiding and abetting a criminal, hey, you can come stay at my house. I know you broke the law, but come hide out at my place. I've got to think that somehow this Valley Neighbors outfit could be held accountable if it's proven that they are aiding and abetting criminals, people who are breaking the laws of this country.
It's under the federal codes. I mean, essentially, aiding and abetting was put into the immigration codes in years ago, and essentially harboring is what they were doing. And again, it's back to that statute-wise, and the state government, as Mayor Johnson put it, you put it that to the local level. We haven't really got a hardline MCA rule, but it's under the USC codes and essentially of harboring and illegal immigration. So essentially, we're ignoring federal law is essentially what we're doing.
The U.S. attorney really could tackle something like this, but he probably won't be allowed to because he was appointed by Joe Biden, of course.
I'm going to stand up for those guys that the Border Patrol agents and those that are working there every day. A lot of times they want to do enforce the law, but they are punitively and looked at or told that, hey, if you do anything, you're going to be facing repercussions. And again, I struggle, that'd be like me telling my guys not to investigate crime. That should be an immediate, issue that we're not going to be doing, that I shouldn't be in this office at that point. And so I guess that's the issue is that you've got these codes on the books that we're not enforcing. We're not asking for new codes. We're asking for them to enforce the ones that are on the books.
That's right. And just remove the policies that open up the floodgates to begin with. Enforce the laws that are on the books here, which, of course, they refuse to. And you're exactly right. The great men and women of the Border Patrol, they want to be able to do their jobs, and their hands are being tied behind their backs right now. Sheriff, anything else you wanted to share with our listeners across the state before I get some final thoughts from the mayor as well?
Yeah, I think the biggest one that, in these discussions is there is a cost. Everybody says there isn't, but there is. So when you bring in individuals that have different varying levels of documentation, you have medical, you have, education, you have all these different things that are essentially added to it. Even look at my agency. How do you train, 60 people on languages that are going to vary across? We've got everything from Spanish to Russians to everything else. I can't teach all my guys those things. We use the language systems, but every time that we call in and we do these things, We struggle with there's different contexts of Spanish, right? So you've got then different countries, much probably like you would be the United States government. You know, the southern way to talk compared to the northern way to talk is different, and so we have issues with that. Then if you're dealing with 15 or 20 trying to investigate a crime, you know, that takes more time, you know, from, you know, for our guys to deal with that. We still have to investigate the crime, do all those types of scenarios, but we have to use all these tools, and how do I educate? And then, you know, we also have, you know, again, the healthcare systems of now where we're looking at is, you know, I've seen, you know, a lot of southern areas where, you know, you have a no place, no people can't pay. So now who pays that bill? Well, it's the individuals that are going to increase costs on medical coverage. So there's always a cost. It's just sometimes it's hidden and sometimes it's further down the road. But, you know, in this scenario, how do you house them? We are short on housing right now. They're trying to catch that up. But I have deputies that don't have housing right now.
Wow.
And now we're talking, you know, about
bringing people from some other country here and giving them housing when our own, you know, courageous sheriff's deputies can't even find housing. Yeah, that's outrageous. Well, and then that point that you made a few minutes ago, another reminder that you had an illegal alien who stabbed somebody, and yet the Biden administration resisted efforts to deport that individual. It just shows the fight that you've got on your hands. All right, Sheriff Haino, again, thanks for calling in. Very informative. Appreciate your insight. Let's see. Let's go to, and again, thanks for your service and thanks to your deputies out there as well. Kalispell Mayor Mark Johnson, Mr. Mayor, first off, wanted to get any final thoughts from you for our listeners across the state as well. And then the big question I have is, look, I get it that the feds will fight us at every turn to prevent us from trying to detain and deport these illegal aliens. But can we just give them bus passes to California, Seattle, or somewhere?
More than happy to, you know, get them somewhere where they can get the services in a location where there's more capacity, more funds available, and probably more attention with assets allocated from the Biden administration at this point, because I don't, you know, we don't really see much of that up here. We're too small of a community to qualify for any of those types of things. But, you know, Aaron, I think my last thoughts is this is indicative of over the last several years of what we've seen. We're really approaching, and I commented on this Monday night, we're really approaching a crisis in confidence with our federal government. I look back over the last several years and I see lightning impeachments of President Trump over a phone call, whether or not, who knows. I look at the events that are surrounding our border and the failure of Secretary Mayorkas to do his job. And, you know, the fact that we have a House that can impeach the Secretary and a Senate that doesn't vote to pick up that impeachment and essentially avoid their constitutional duty, to me is a shame, because somebody has to answer for the fact that we have federal laws not being followed, not being addressed at the highest level in our government. And, you know, I'm kind of tongue in cheek, I guess maybe Secretary Mayorkas was impeached at the House level because he could be found fit to stand for trial, because I don't think he could actually take our president and impeach him and have him found to be fit for trial.
Well, that was what, who was the special counsel? Who was the special counsel who basically said just that? That, well, he'd be seen as too old and not really, I forget what the words that were used. But basically the guy said, Joe Biden would not be fit to stand trial. So even though he likely violated some laws here, we're going to let him off the hook because he's too old and feeble, was basically what the special counsel said. It's crazy. And about that Mayorkas vote. On a party line vote, every single Senate Democrat voted to keep Mayorkas at the helm in the midst of this invasion. Absolutely insane.
Yeah, no, it's insane. It's insane what we're seeing. I never thought in my lifetime that I'd see something like this happen, where the rule of law is ignored and avoided, where it's just as a matter of convenience for whatever party involved. It's truly sad, because now the sheriff and I were dealing with things at local level we never should be dealing with, And it's unfortunate we don't even have the support from the federal government to continue and do their role, what they should.
That's right. Well, Mr. Mayor, thanks for calling in. Appreciate the insight, especially after that big meeting you just had earlier this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, and tell the sheriff thanks for us once again. Yeah, Congressman Ryan Zinke laid out several questions for Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Why are so many in the Montana media not asking some of these same questions? Where did this group of illegals enter the southwest border? Were they granted access under parole authority? Were any of these illegal immigrants previously deported or previously denied asylum? How did they get to Montana? Who paid for them to get to Montana? Is the Department of Homeland Security funding the very non-governmental organizations that are providing this type of assistance to these illegal aliens? That's just some of the great questions that were being asked here in this letter. All right, into your phone calls we go. Steve in Columbia Falls, hope you're still there. Thanks for calling in.
I'm here. Hey, thank you for taking my call, Aaron. My question is, what does the law say about claiming asylum? And the reason I ask that is a couple of years ago, I helped a Venezuelan family here. I do speak some Spanish, and so I was helping them, and they got assistance here. And you know, I'm all for protecting against the laws being broken. I don't believe in illegality. But, you know, this family, I did a Bible study with them and everything, and they had papers that said he's an alien. They had a hearing that was set in Utah. And so he was a very hard worker. They were a wonderful family. But my question is, if someone illegal, when they come claiming asylum, in other words, he came from a very difficult situation. They did not want to leave Venezuela. They loved it down there, but they were basically starving to death.
Yeah, that's what happens when socialism takes over. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you're totally right. I mean, and I don't want that to happen here, but what's the government, you know, what's the government rule? Maybe Sheriff Haino could help on that, but what is the rule about claiming asylum? Is that legal for them to come and claim asylum like that, which they definitely needed? How does that work?
I mean, and the question is because you're right. Are there legitimate asylum seekers and legitimate refugees? Yes.
Right.
Yes. And do we as a country take care of people historically? Yes. But what John Fabricatori, who was an ICE field office director, who joined us right here on this show, told me, he was a state field director for Wyoming and Colorado. He made it clear the Biden administration is abusing the asylee process. They're abusing the refugee process. And so can we even trust that just because they gave somebody the refugee button or the asylee button, that they're actually a true refugee or asylee, right?
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
After several years on the market, the Five Valleys Livestock Auction west of Missoula will no longer hold livestock auctions after this month. The sale of the land has left many local ranchers shocked and understandably upset. But the stockyards west of Missoula will not be torn down. They will be used as a transfer yard, with livestock being trucked to Montana Livestock Auction in Ramsey. Montana Knife Company purchased the land to build a new manufacturing store on an undeveloped part of the property. Josh Smith is owner of Montana Knife Company.
Actually going to keep it open as a transfer center, so it is going to be a little bit of a change, but it was very important to me that ranchers had a place to take their cattle locally where they didn't have to haul stock trailers clear over to Butte or to Great Falls or wherever they were going to go. So we did a deal with the Ramsey Stockyards there. I think June 2nd, they're going to start picking up cattle there so people can bring their cattle in the morning, and that afternoon, those cattle will ship out so nothing will stay overnight.
For Frenchtown rancher Shay Garrett, the closing of the live auction is troubling.
It's not preferred for us guys to have cattle and sell cattle. You know, I had 4 yearlings that I needed to get rid of, and I took them in last week because I knew I wouldn't have another chance. And if we start shipping them somewhere else, it's going to cost us more money. I don't hold nothing against the guy that bought it. It's been up for sale off and on for 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, and it's been struggling.
A difficult change for livestock producers in western Montana. I'm Lane North.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, I shared some of the questions from Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke to Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. And yeah, I'll just say it again. Where is the rest of the Montana media? If you call yourself a journalist, what is your job as a journalist? Is your job as a journalist to provide cover for the organization, which is aiding, abetting, and abetting illegal aliens, trafficking illegal aliens in the state of Montana? Is that your job, is to provide cover for them? Is your job to provide cover for politicians that vote to continue this invasion on our southern border? Or is your job to question them? You'll question the other side. Why don't you question them? It was just crazy. I mean, here you had the Lee newspaper's Capitol Bureau. They waited 5 days to even cover this massive news story about illegal aliens being dumped in Kalispell, Montana. And what did they do? Did they cover the story? No. They covered for Valley Neighbors, the organization which is trafficking illegal aliens in the Flathead, openly admitting that on their website. I mean, do your job. Question them. Look, question the other side, too. Question everybody. That's supposed to be your job. But no, they only question one side. They only question one side, and they provide cover for the other. 406-294-0970. Other big news developing overnight. School elections across Montana. School board elections. You had school levy votes across the state. And by and large, not everywhere, not in every election. By and large, though, school levies were defeated by and large across the state. Helena, Montana. When is the last time they rejected a levy increase for public schools in Helena, Montana? I got a note from our friend Joe Dooling. Helena rejected school levy increases. Billings, in huge margins. Voters in Billings rejected two school safety levies in Billings, and the two pro-parent, pro-family school board candidates won their elections in the school board elections in Billings. Gallatin County, I read somewhere that a majority of the Gallatin County school levies failed. Now, Kalispell, I think some of them got across the finish line there, but I even heard some of my conservative friends in Kalispell say, well, you know, we typically haven't. All these other places, they've passed levy increase after levy increase after levy increase for schools. Kalispell typically hasn't, so maybe folks in Kalispell felt it was time. So, you tell us how you interpret that one. But either way, by and large, across most of the state, these voters rejected these property tax hikes. Rock is calling in from the middle of nowhere, and we were kind of chatting earlier about this. So, Rock, thanks for calling back in. But yeah, what's your takeaways on these school elections across the state?
Well, I'm glad to see we're going a little more conservative with these school board members. But the thing I wanted to tell people is, go to your town meetings, go to your town school board meetings. We've been in the middle of nowhere for like 2 years now. And the first thing we did when we got to this little town that we live in now, we went to the school board meetings. Because as you know, we went to the school board meetings in Gallatin County, and boy, was that a fiasco. Where there was 200 and 300 people showing up about CRT and things like that. But anyway, we showed up to the school board meeting. And they said, what are you guys doing here? They didn't even know us.
That's right.
And we said, we just want to see what's going on in our community here, our new community. Well, here we are, not even 2 years later. My wife is now on the town council. And don't say you're too old for this stuff, because my wife's 71 and I'm 74. And I am now also a member of the fire department again. But just showing up, now we've got quite a few people that show up to the school board meetings because there's something going on with the budget that's a little shaky. So just by showing up, you're holding these people accountable, because we voted them in, they work for us.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Because
the way the government works, they work for us. We are not slaves to the government. They work for us.
Well, and not only that, but some of this crazy stuff that some of these school boards have been trying to jam down kids' throats, if nobody's there watching them when they make some of these decisions, they think they can get away with it. But then if there's a room full of people sitting there as they're talking about this stuff, they might be less likely to push the crazy with a whole room full of people watching them, right?
Exactly. I'll tell you a story about that. You know, I lived in Big Sky, my wife and I did, for quite a while. And when we first got there, we lived in a little area called the West Fork, which was at that time affordable for, guys that were working on the mountain or construction guys, whatever. Not anymore. But she showed up for the council meetings there. She showed up for about a month. They all resigned because there was some real shady stuff going on, you know, with building permits and things like that. And within a month, they all resigned.
Interesting. And just by somebody showing up and paying attention, and especially on these local issues, that's where, I mean, think about it. You either, depending on where you live in Montana yesterday, you're either going to see a property tax hike or you're not going to see a property tax hike based off of local votes and local elections, which is another reminder that property taxes are by and large driven at the local level. Rock, great to hear from you. Pleasure as always. Thanks for your continued service there with the fire department as well. So important, that work that you do. 294-0970 is the number for you. One thing about the public safety levy, the school safety levies in Billings, I made this point even before the election there. Why is school safety something that we have to pay extra for? Why isn't school safety the first priority? But instead it's like, well, if you want safety for your kids, we're going to have to charge you extra for that. We're going to charge you an extra little fee. You're going to have to pay more if you want school safety. What? And then on top of that, isn't it interesting that some of the same people that were pushing a school safety levy were also the same people advocating for assassination classroom to be in the classroom? I mean, good night. Let's see, who's next up on the phone lines here? We got Rod in the Flathead. Rod, what's going on?
Yeah, hi, Aaron. Just listening to Sheriff Hano talk and the mayor here in Kalispell discuss the issues with the border. And, you know, you talk about, we have to ask a lot of questions. I disagree. We're done asking questions. We know what's going on. The feds have abandoned the states. The feds have abandoned this country. Okay, they're obviously, illegally, unconstitutionally bringing in tens of millions of illegal aliens. And that's the key point. They're illegal. Okay, they commit a felony as soon as they cross the line. So what has to happen, I mean, you know, they talk about having their hands tied. Oh, there's only so much we can do. That's really not true. You start out by making this state of Montana not a welcome place for illegal aliens because yeah, they're felons. So at the state and local levels, one of the things you do is you make it a non-sanctuary state. You make it official. Every town needs to start doing that. The county commissioners need to vote on that. I know it starts out and say, it's just kind of a bunch of words. But that's how you get started. Next thing, you go after the NGOs, okay? You don't have to arrest them. Don't do anything illegal. But just show the light on them. Constantly talk about what they're doing and how they're destroying this state, all right?
Haul them before a committee. Haul them before your committees, yeah.
Exactly. Every time, okay? And don't listen to their rhetoric. Oh, we're just doing this for refugees. That's a bunch of garbage. Yeah, they bring in some refugees. They sit there and say, well, we're not actually bringing them in. We're not paying for this. The point is that their very existence tells the Biden administration where to go and send the people because they know these organizations are here to help facilitate the process.
Exactly.
Okay? So, and as far as the sheriff goes, you know, said, we don't have facilities. Well, how are we going to house them? Well, don't house them. We can't afford it. We don't have the buildings for it, so don't house them. Pick them up, haul them down to Missoula. You keep shoving them around, you're going to start seeing some things change, okay? This thing's been going on in Colorado for a while now.
Their hospitals are overwhelmed in Denver. Oh,
absolutely.
Man. We shut down schools because hospitals were about to get overwhelmed. But if illegal aliens overwhelm the hospitals, bah!
Exactly. So the point is that we need to quit asking questions. We need to quit expecting to get any help from the feds. The feds have abandoned us. We need to do it on our own. We need to make the state very uncomfortable for illegals because the word will get out through the illegals processes, you know, the illegal lines of communication that this is not a good place to come to.
That's right. They will find the path of least resistance. So
that's right.
resist. Right? Rod, great to hear from you. Great phone call. Appreciate it. 406-294-0970. Coming up after our break. I'm not hearing the music for some reason. I don't know why. But coming up after our break, we'll get to Jeremy Miglin. Jeremy Miglin, stand by. You'll be first up right after this.
Video. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I want to just echo something that Rod in the Flathead said there and expand on it just for a quick second here. Okay, this Valley Neighbors outfit in Kalispell, they've openly admitted that they are aiding and abetting, or at least willing to aid and abet, people who are breaking the laws of this country, illegal aliens. Haul them before a committee in Helena. Put them on camera. Ask them questions. Hold them accountable, right? Find out where they're getting their funding from. Now, federal agents should have raided their facility last week and overturned every book in that building and looked at every that should have already happened, but that ain't going to happen under the current administration. But legislators, hey, whether you get a yesterday we talked about a potential special session of the legislature. Whether you get a special session of the legislature or not, haul these people before an interim committee. Get them on camera. Ask them the questions that the liberal media won't answer. And these other refugee outfits, have them come. Have them come and explain what they're doing and why they're doing it. There were refugee programs that got audited by the state government back in the early 2000s, about 20 years ago or so, and they found out there was a lot of financial mismanagement by these so-called refugee programs. Bring them in. Bring them in. Hold them accountable too, right? Sunshine and sunshine, right? Put some sunshine, put some light on these things. Jeremy Miglin, calling in at Jefferson County, I think. Jeremy Miglin, great to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks for letting me call in here. So, I had a couple questions myself. Is one, if the local government does not have the resources to deal with illegal immigration, why isn't Gianforte doing something? He's committed, 2,000 troops to the Texas border? Why isn't he providing resources to the local government to handle this if we are that overwhelmed on the local level? That's one. Two, the sheriff also said that there's no Montana code to deal with. It's only on the federal level, the aiding and abetting laws. But Montana Code annotated 45.2.302.3 says it almost mimics the United States Constitution other than providing comfort. It says either before or during the commission of offense with the purpose to promote and facilitate the commission, the person solicits, aids, abets, agrees, or attempts to aid the other person in the planning or commission of the offense. So we have a state law to prosecute these, unless I am missing something.
We have to share that number again. What was the MCA? What was that again? Share that again, please, if you would.
45.2.302.3.
Great.
Your aiding and abetting laws.
Yeah.
Those are my two questions. Why aren't we using this law? Am I misunderstanding something? Because it mimics the federal law, other than the word comfort in there, which should be added if they get a special session. So,
and Jeremy, you're running for the state senate right now, right?
State senate, and it's 38. It goes from Helena all the way down to Whitehall, almost to Missoula, and then up to Sealy and back down. So, not as big as the state like I used to, but.
Yeah. Well, I remember meeting you and getting a chance to hear you speak back at that Freedom Convoy rally on the Capitol lawn. What was that? 2-3 years ago now. And great job back then. So I'm glad to hear you're still engaged.
Yep. Our freedoms are being eroded really quickly. And this is just part of them. This is just part of it. So
Yeah. If Biden won't stand up, we need to. We have the laws in place. We just we have to enforce them. I mean, there's no enforcement, and there's no teeth. There's a lot of places that there's just no, not just this, but there's no teeth in a lot of our laws. So Knutson and the Attorney General prosecute, and it fails the Supreme Court because there's not enough teeth to it. So I really hope when I get there to put a little teeth behind some of this stuff, like this aiding and abetting law.
Well, I know that's what Speaker Regeer communicated yesterday. And Jeremy Miglin, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you again. Nice surprise phone call. That's why I love keeping the phone lines open. You never know who we're going to hear from. 294-0970, the number for you. But, yeah, that was one of the things Speaker Regeer communicated yesterday. Now, according to the transcript, because I use this quote, if you missed yesterday's show, if you go to MontanaTalks.com, I've got this headline, Montana House Speaker urges special session on illegal aliens. And what he is saying is that right now our law enforcement and state law enforcement don't have any recourse. And so he says we, the legislative branch, need to give them that. And so, and that's where we pointed to, hey, look what Texas is able to do. Look what Iowa has done. And he mentioned a specific Iowa Senate Bill 2340 that's referenced in this article on our Montana Talks website right now. And so So it sounds like there are some laws that that we need to get on the books here in Montana. The challenge is the legislature only meets every other year for about 90 days. And so either they need to do it with a special session in June or get it done in the regular session coming up this spring. But look, really, at the end of the day, I think John Jackson made a great point yesterday is, you know, we can sit here and play whack-a-mole and chase our tail and the Biden administration and the full weight and force of the federal government will fight us at every turn. The big picture still remains that until we get Donald Trump back in the White House and until we give back control of the United States Senate and we take away control of the U.S. Senate from these open borders folks like John Tester, we're going to continue to have this problem. So fundamentally, it comes down to 2024, the Senate and the White House.